This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Yasmin Rashid, Program Director for Malaysia Social Inclusion and Vibrant Entrepreneurship, or MASIF, from MAGIC. But we also know her from Econites. Now she's wearing many, many hats. But before we get into your new role at MAGIC, what's happening with Econites?
Econites is a teenager now. It's grown its wings and ready to fly. I've been transitioning myself out of Econites for the last year and a half. So it's exciting and depressing at the same time. I mean, it's like letting go of your baby. But I think it's about time. Econites belongs to the young. Mm-hmm. And in the last 10 years, I feel I've molded enough young minds and young leaders to take the helm and take Econites to greater heights.
Right. So what are some of the ongoing programs and I guess also future programs at Econites?
Econites is continuing to do a lot of advocacy work with the government. So that's really good and important. Maybe not so much in the front line. On the other side, we do a lot of impact-driven initiatives with the corporates as well. Mm. We've also got our signature river and waste management programs. So that is clockwork. That is a lot to do as well. I guess we're not reaching to 33 million Malaysians yet. So that will probably be keeping the team very occupied and busy.
Are you still going ahead with your film festival?
Yes, yes. It's a 12th year this year. So I'm really psyched. This year will be the first year I'm completely hands off.
Okay.
So I'm excited to see the magical touches of the team.
All right. So speaking of magical touch, your transition into MAGIC and you say we can't reach 33 million at Econites, maybe with MAGIC.
Maybe.
Okay. What made you decide to join MAGIC?
I think one of the most attractive points of joining a GLC or a government agency was my desire to look at working on areas related to policy, implementation of policy, like directly with the government. I was a government scholar, but I came back in 97 when there was an economic recession. So I think I grew up during that time thinking that I should serve the government. Mm. So when this opportunity came up, I grabbed it immediately because I think among the working experiences I've had, working directly under the ministry or a government agency was something I lack. Hmm. Or I feel like I should get this experience, you know, before I retire one day. So this came in at the right timing. And I think MAGIC was also looking to, you know, for a rebirth opportunity. So I thought maybe this would be a good opportunity to see what I can do and contribute to the nation there.
Right. So with MASIF, what does it plan to do? This department, Malaysia Social Inclusion and Vibrant Entrepreneurship, what was it set up to do?
It's set up to basically drive the social entrepreneurship ecosystem. Following from the policies that have been rolled up under the National Entrepreneurship Framework, we are in charge of strategic thrust for Goal 14 to look at how social entrepreneurship or SE can be the driver of the economy of the country. So we do this by working across ecosystem partners. We work on actually a lot of community building activities as well because we feel that the SE, understanding of SEs is still, you know, while maybe in the urban setting, it's more
understood.
Yeah, maybe less outside. Mm. And I truly believe many companies out there actually embrace the SE philosophy, but right, not necessarily are known as an SE. So there's a lot of education that needs to still go on. We also have this exciting accreditation program coming up. It's already launched right now, which is the first time ever, actually first time in Asia, that a country actually has a national definition for SEs. And on top of that, the government is providing this platform for companies to come to be recognized as SEs if you fulfill this criteria.
All right. I'm very interested to know about that. Mm. Before that, though, I think it sort of, MAGIC started off with you know, encouraging social enterprises, sort of took a backseat, you know, or encouraging all businesses to get into it. Mm. And right now, I guess, you know, you're putting the putting it back into, you know, mainstream almost. You've got not a competition, but a cohort happening at the moment, a program at the moment.
Yeah, it's, well, the SE Bootcamp is happening. Yes. A couple months from now will be the Global Accelerator Program as well. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about this program at the moment.
The SE Bootcamp? Mm-hmm. It's basically a 10-day program for anyone, regardless of age, to come and solidify their idea into the formation of a startup. Mm. So in 10 days, ideally, you would have all the knowledge. Yeah. Perhaps a little bit more encouragement and motivation and inspiration from our mentors and speakers to eventually roll out your first startup. Mm. And we envision that at least half of the participants from this bootcamp should be able to at least make at least 100K in revenue the first year.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a very ambitious goal, but I think we're quite confident in the kind of modules that we're running in the academy that we can actually fuel interested minds here to look at starting their own social enterprise.
Entries are closed?
Entry is closed for that one. We're doing selection now.
All right. So it's a once a year program?
Currently once a year.
How many people are participating in that
10 teams. Mm-hmm. We're running a slightly different format this year, and these 10 teams, some of them would already come in the ready-made team. They already have Yasindra and Berhad and all that whatnots. Those that are coming in as individual, they get to be forming their own teams as well.
Okay.
Because I think there are four basic elements that are critical to an SE, apart from a founder and a designer and a marketeer and a tech person. So we feel that these four elements are critical for a startup.
So people have come in without a business.
Yes, without a business.
Okay, and what criteria did they come in? I'm excited. I just want to do something. I don't know what. Also, you were also accepting these people.
Yeah, they have to send a video submission sharing with us what they have as an idea already, mm-hmm. What their vision or mission intends to be. And I think the role of the bootcamp is to look at concretizing these ideas, allowing them to immerse themselves in opportunities to validate their ideas, test their ideas, and there will be mentors and judges to actually bounce these ideas back as well. So it's like crafting and fine-tuning their ideas into a viable startup.
Oh, so it's very interesting. So you've got people who's got businesses, some people who's just got an idea. Mm. So you're looking at 10 teams, so each team is four people, so about 40 people participating.
About 40,
was response good?
Response was pretty good. We had about 100 over submissions, despite the short time frame for admissions. I think the toughest part right now is selecting the 10 teams. Some are very tech-based,
right?
Very engineer-based, but not necessarily have the business experience. So I think that's why they may be looking to look at what is a marketing pitch for them. You know, how do you...
Also putting those teams together.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, some are already in a team they formed before.
Which is great.
But not everyone would have that business notion, business sense, you see. Mm-hmm. Or why should we put out our core values out there? What's the importance of having a website? And how do you communicate in a website? And I think these are the finer things that actually help accelerate a social enterprise to the mainstream domain.
Right. So usually with these programs, are there for 2 months, staying on campus, that kind of thing? They're actually taking time off from whatever they're doing.
Yeah. For the boot camp, it's 10 days. Mm. They get to stay in the hotel behind Cyber because it's quite intense. It starts at 8 and doesn't end till 8 at night as well. For the Global Accelerator Program, it's even more intense. It's 4 months.
Okay. That's held in Malaysia.
That's held in Cyberjaya. We have the co-working spaces. So, I mean, that one is international. So we've selected down to 30, 40 teams already coming from all countries.
Oh, okay.
Malaysia.
Right. So that's on a global scale. Mm. This one is focused for Malaysia as well. So, okay, I just want to talk about a little bit about that. So these are two main things that's happening this year, the boot camp and also the Global Acceleration Program. So I want to talk a little bit more about the accreditation. We'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Yasmin Rashid from Econite / Magic. You're listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Backing feminist movements, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Her Vantage on Enterprise. Good morning, Frida Liu here. I'm speaking to Yasmin Rashid from Econites and also talking about her new role as program director for MAGIC. She's in this team called MASSIVE, which is short for, I love this, Malaysia Social Inclusion and Vibrant Entrepreneurship. And this is, of course, targeted at social enterprises, something, mm-hmm. of course, you run and probably have experience with. What's, I guess, interesting moving forward, and this is probably announced in the last budget as well, mm-hmm. about social enterprises, right? And there's now an accreditation, mm-hmm. and a clearer definition, almost, yeah?
National clearer definition.
Yeah, so tell us about that.
So on April 12th, the Ministry of Entrepreneur Development launched the first social entrepreneurship guidelines. What it does is basically highlight what are the criteria that actually help you understand what an SE is. Very basic, a very clear vision and mission. Criteria two is very clearly defined target beneficiaries and a verified theory of change, meaning this SE has the mechanism to actually measure the impact they make. And lastly, a very viable and profitable business model. Mm. I think we all know if an SE is to continue its trajectory, making positive impact while being a robust entrepreneur, it's important to be doing well first as a company before you do good to others. So I think that's the general philosophy. Anyone can now come into our social entrepreneurship accreditation platform, which is via the MAGIC website or via MED's website. From there, you get to declare these criteria, and if you fulfill this criteria, you will be known as a social enterprise basic recognition. And this recognition will allow you to be listed on the government website,
right,
as a SE that fulfills these criteria.
Okay.
So I guess anyone in the world can come and check on you and see who are the, you know, known SEs in the country. Just head to this website. And for SEs that want to take that extra mile and be accredited, it's a little bit more intense. You would need to declare and submit a lot of documents for auditing, including your financial documents, your company records, all those kind of,
which is detail. Fair enough. I mean, we need to know that you're legit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And it goes through an auditing process, which will be overseen by a council led by the CEO of MAGIC, Zulaira Abubakar. And currently, we're in the process of getting a lot of SEs who are interested to be accredited. What accreditation does to you is it leads you to government procurement.
Okay.
I think that's initial step. We're trying to fine-tune here in MAGIC and with the ministry to look at what are the benefits we can actually generate for the SEs that are accredited as well.
Okay.
And then there's the next level of accreditation. Mm-hmm. This one comes from MOF and LHDN, where an accredited SE can opt to apply for tax benefits for their programs that grow impact, which means at some point, corporates can actually donate with tax receipts received to an SE's beneficiaries or to an SE's environmental cause, for instance.
Right.
And this is wonderful news because I know SEs, while they want to continuously to do good, money is always a challenge, you know, to benefit your beneficiaries, to provide machines to your beneficiaries or to build a center for them. So this is the part where I think private companies like corporates can come in and lend a hand,
knowing that there'll be tax benefits.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not in the business side where it's, you were giving an example earlier on about, you know, let's say Batik Boutique, right?
Yeah.
Who works with artisans and developing things. Right now, then corporates can say, I want to buy X number of sewing machines.
Yes.
Right. So then they can actually claim tax against that, as opposed to giving money to the beneficiary, because you still want people to work. Yeah. You still want people to do that. But now with instead of, you know, the company, the social enterprise investing in sewing machines, which is operational cost, someone can come in and help in that area.
Yes, definitely. I mean, the idea is to encourage more private companies to come and be part of that ecosystem as well, so that the impact aspects can grow exponentially.
What's the tax exemption to this?
I believe it's maybe between 7 to 10%. Mm-hmm. I think that amount, I've got to check out the guidelines. It should be on the MOF website as well.
Okay.
Currently, I think we're looking at getting more trying to promote and market this accreditation to more accredited SEs. Mm. We're excited to see who will be the first one to get this.
Right.
And we're also excited to see them operationalizing these tax benefits as well. Mm. That will be a great case study for us to look at the kind of benefits that can be, you know, given to SEs to grow them.
Okay. When you see people coming in, going for the boot camp, right? Mm-hmm. Do people have, do we have a better understanding of what a social enterprise is? Do people still think, and, you know, I guess a lot of people still think like an NGO.
Yes, to a large extent. And I think while people know they want to do good, defining how they want to do good seem to be a bit of a struggle. So while I think the environmental mission is a little bit more easier to address, but when you talk about a social mission, right, what constitutes a social mission? And then how do you define how you're helping them and how do you track and measure how you help them? I think if I have to put an NGO hat, oftentimes the help is transient. When there's money, you help. When there's no money, you keep quiet. And then sometimes you get a fund that is a one-off. You go in there, you help, and you provide services, and you walk off. But I think in this age and time when people know more about impact, it's not a touch-and-go thing.
Right.
And it's not easy as well. You don't just go there and provide rice and think that everyone's happy for one day in their life. What is it to their livelihood that you're actually contributing to improve, maybe from no education to better education? Sure. So this whole process takes years.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of mindset shift. You
right.
know? So I think that is the kind of change we want to see.
And I think as we move to being a developed nation status, we need, you know, it's not just about how well the country is doing financially, but how well the people are mentally, you know what I mean? In terms of, have they moved up in terms of their standard of living?
Yes.
And, you know, mind, body and soul.
Yes, right? Totally. And that's so, we cannot measure that, right? It's so hard to measure, right? And also, I think I look at social entrepreneurship as a very high order philosophy. I think any big companies can always adopt an SE philosophy. At the end of the day, most companies are profit driven already, so that's sorted, right? But how do you then, while realizing you're making profit, how do you change maybe a little bit of your core values to look at becoming a company that's known to be more responsible, more impactful to society or nature? So I think I look at it at two prongs. One is starting as an SE, which I think fundamentally should be even better because they're starting from the basic. And then also, how can Massive Through Magic influence big companies to look at wearing the SE element?
Right.
I don't think size matters. I think it's how you articulate what you want to do apart from making profit and what you want to improve in society. And I think the country needs it a lot now as
right.
well.
And I'm just thinking of the organizations that have gone through the boot camp from the early days and now they're doing fairly well. GrabCycle, Picture Project, you know.
Katsana, they've gone to other countries, you know, they've established. And I think this is the part where I think we're losing out. I mean, we've got really good startup ecosystem here. How do we retain all these?
Yeah.
Good.
How do we grow them?
How do we grow them? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe Malaysia is too small of a country as well. So that's why I think with Magic here, we're trying to see how we can position this accreditation program across ASEAN as well. Like if ASEAN has a shared vision of how to grow the SEs,
right,
and we're in that position to influence, maybe by doing that, we can create a better access in terms of market for our SEs here. To go to Thailand, Vietnam and all that.
Right.
I mean, not to say that our demographics are similar, but this would be a good start.
Yeah, I guess there's some programs which are issues that affect all of us, right? I mean, for example, food waste, right?
Food waste,
that's something that affects
natural disasters.
These are things that affect all of us, right? And probably something like that is more replicatable, where something maybe very community-based, which is very specific to Malaysia.
Yeah.
Right. But I guess the philosophy and the programs could be something that can be adopted by other countries as well once we've gotten that in place. So you've got a busy year ahead. So your focus right now? Okay. So there's the boot camp, there's the Global Acceleration Program, and what else are you looking into?
We are running a lot of partnership programs. I think one of the things, at least now in my time with Magic, is looking at striking. I mean, collaboration across agencies and corporate partners as well as learning institutes. And I think this is a bit of an old formula, like maybe from EcoKnights, right? Because there's no way one entity can do everything. I see partnership as really an entry point to not just influencing others to see and know more about SE, but to also influence them to think about being part of the bandwagon of growing the ecosystem. So we're going to talk to more financial institutions as well, looking at what sort of facilities we can grow for our SEs, looking at working across the globe as well to what kind of market access we can create for our SEs.
Okay.
Ideally, we want all of them to shine.
Okay.
We want all of them to go out there and be that SE from Malaysia, okay. You know.
So wish list, who would you want come knocking at your door and say, this is what I want to do? Like if you say it's a bank, what would you want them to come in and, you know, to help support?
A couple of things.
Okay.
I want them to look at coming up with their own internal policies to help SEs. Because I think currently, no matter what, an SE is still a syndrome, perhaps.
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to even taxes and you're on the same level playing field. But then SEs are probably working slower towards attaining a certain kind of revenue, right? So maybe the opportunity to get loans from banks are a bit lower because they're a little bit slow. I mean, if there is some provision, if it's this accreditation program, which means they're legitimately an SE verified, that banks can look at coming up with more lenient policies or policies that make sense that allow the SEs to have better facilities in bank. Maybe, you know, lesser collaterals and all that. Number two is also looking at how the banks can be impact-driven by investing in more SEs. So more like responsible investments. Mm. And I think these are all quite in line with what Bank Negara has in mind as well. It's just really trying to encourage and also to, I guess, influence the bankers to look at SEs as not just from a profit sense, but look at creating maybe value for the kind of social and environmental impact they make. Because I think that ROI there is huge as well. So how do you take something intangible, put it out there and said, you know, apart from making profit, this is the kind of change they're making out there.
All right. So a lot of work ahead.
Yeah.
All the best. Yasmin Rashid from EcoKnights / Program Director at MAGIC. You've been listening to Her Vantage and Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.